Luke chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 17 down through verse 26 this morning. I don't have a whole lot of thoughts for you this morning. I just have some things that I believe will truthfully help us to see what I believe God would have us to see and what we need to see. And I want to encourage you here by reading verses 17 down through verse 26. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto them, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. We have seen strange things today. It was several years ago now when Brother George was here for one of our revivals. He preached a message on this portion of Scripture about seeing strange things. I'm constantly reminded. I've always thought about that. Every time I read this, I think and I remember when Brother George preached that message about strange things. And I thought about those strange things this week in preparation that, as they say here in their own heart and their own minds and their own thoughts, they say, we have seen strange things. Here is a man who was literally paralyzed, and we find that Jesus was in the presence. He was in the building. I know today in the world we live in, we get so excited about someone else or someone who is in the building. So-and-so is in the building. The president is in the building. Our favorite singer is in the building. Our favorite musician is in the building. Our favorite athlete is in the building. I know recently Tim Tebow was in town. A lot of folks were excited about that. Apparently he's going to be back in May. But you get excited about when someone is in the house. Someone is in the building. Well, Jesus was in their midst, and we're going to see something very important here in just a few moments that I believe will help us today. But I look back at a story like this of a man who was paralyzed, and a man who God raised up. God raised him up, and he was able to not only walk once again, but he was so strong at that point when God healed him that he was able to carry his own bed, something that he could not do before. As I think of the song that we just sung, we sang about Moses. If I could sing the words right, he actually lifted his rod and stretched it out over the waters, and the waters parted. As they thought about that, I'm sure when there was Moses, and we know in the scriptures from in the record that Moses, in his own mind, I'm sure was a little bit nervous and a little bit afraid. What's going to happen? As they saw the Egyptians closing in on them. I've never been in a tornado, an actual tornado, but I can only imagine how scary that is if you've been there and saw the tornado kind of coming at you and getting closer and closer and closer. I know a lot of times we can see the storms as the storms come and they're getting closer and closer, and maybe you can see some lightning and, and hear some thunder and all those kind of things, and start to see some rain maybe before it gets to you, and you try to get into shelter. But as he raised that rod and the waters parted, the children of Israel had to have enough faith to walk on that dry ground. It was a lot easier when it was dry ground. I'm heard that the Kentucky Derby took place last night, and I guess it was a very muddy field, so I didn't get to see it, but the muddy track, I should say. But the ground was dry, and they could walk across, but it still took faith. Naturally, those walls up alongside them, it had to take faith for them to walk across. The second verse of that song talks about the three young boys, the three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who had to have enough faith to say, we're not going to bow down to you or to your God, because our God has the power to deliver us. Our God has the power to deliver us from even your fiery furnace. We know how angry it made the leaders, to the point where the furnace was turned up so high, 7 times higher than it had want to be, the Bible says. And as they were throwing the three young boys into that fire, it literally killed the men that were throwing them into the fire because it was so hot. But there were 4 men in the fire. And sometimes, as the third verse says in that song, our world kind of gets turned upside down. And things happen so strange in our lives. But I fear we forget the fourth man in the fire. I fear that we forget the Lord. And I fear that could quite possibly and probably is the reason we do not see strange things today. Why do we not see lives turned upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we not see at times churches turned upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ and on fire? I believe many times it's because we forget about that fourth man in the fire. Our feelings, our emotions, our pride, our arrogancy get in the way, and it hinders us from seeing the strange things that God wants to show us today. As Moses saw that burning bush, he said, let us turn aside to see what this thing is. What's going on? Why is this bush not being burned up? God wants us to see strange things today. He wants us to see amazing things, but I believe that our lack of faith, as we've already talked about in the last few weeks, hinder us from seeing that. Our lack of willingness. And I believe we see an example here today in this portion of Scripture that can help us see strange things in our lives, in our homes, and in our churches. And I don't mean strange things as things that, oh, that's creepy, that's scary. I mean things that God would do some amazing things in our lives if we were only willing to do what we see in this chapter. I don't have 100 other verses to look at. I don't have 100 other places to go. I only have 3 simple points for you today. Examples that will help us in our lives to see things change for God's glory if we will just get involved in them. Well, hurry up, Pastor. Tell us what they are. That's what I'm going to do. That's why I'm here this morning. That's what God's called me to do, is to help you see what the Scripture is telling us. I want you to notice 3 simple things that I believe today that if we are faithful and involved in these 3 simple things, we can see strange things in our homes and in our church and in our personal lives. The question is, are we willing to do these three very simple things? Notice verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. I find that interesting because I feel like a lot of times the problem with Christianity is there's too many people sitting and not enough doing. It says, they were come, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And I want you to notice this. This hit me like a boxer. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Did you catch that? The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now we would all say the power of the Lord was present there to heal them because Jesus was there that day. And I'm not going to argue with you about that. I'm not going to split hairs over that. But can I tell you, the end of that verse is just as true today as it was back then. The power of the Lord is here to heal us today. Say, Pastor, I have problems at work. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power of the Lord in your life. You have the Lord close to you, and He is willing, ready, and able to help you in your every situation, your every circumstance. The power of the Lord here is here today. The power of the Lord is in our presence today here at Southside Baptist Church. Folks, do we understand that? Where two or three are gathered, there am I, in my name, by the way, in His name. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Jesus was there that day, and people knew that because Jesus was there, there were people who could be healed and could be taken care of in their problem. However, I guarantee you, there were people in those towns and in those areas where Jesus would come through, and even at this point in time, who heard that Jesus was there, and they said, we don't care. We are not going to go see Him. Today, we have something called the Holy Spirit that lives within every child of God who is born again. Yet I fear that many times we in our lives say, I don't want God around. How many times in our lives have we said things like, I've got this under control. I can handle this. We can handle this. I promise you, no, you can't. God can allow you to handle it, give you the strength to handle it, but you won't handle it on your own. Because eventually the weight gets so heavy, you cannot go any further. When I was young, my father is still today, that he loves antique tractors and antique power shows, tractor steam power shows, things like that. And I remember as a child, we would go and we'd watch these tractor pulls and different things. And it's an interesting process if you've never seen it. It may not be your thing. You may go once and say, I didn't enjoy that. It was boring. It was slow. But it's always interesting to me when they hook up to, to be able to have the pull or whatever. And they hook up to the machine. And essentially, as the farther they go, the weight gets dispersed at a different spot. So the farther they go, it pulls the weight up higher and higher and higher, and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier because of the way the weight is being dispersed. And eventually those great big tractors, giant tractors, and sometimes I've watched steam engines do it. It's kind of a very slow process. If you're bored with just a tractor, watching a tractor pull, wait until you watch a steam engine pull, because a steam engine is that's it. I mean, that's about all the faster they go, honestly. And so, but they have all kinds of power. Steam makes some amazing, amazing power. But those big tractors and those big steam engines that you would go, you go by, and as a kid, you'd stand up to them, and the wheels were way above your head. And in my mind and my heart, I think nothing's ever going to stop that. Nothing will ever stop the power. However, if you don't keep feeding the fire, it'll stop because it doesn't have enough power. But the weight of that just burdens down that tractor. And all of a sudden you start to see, as the weight begins to move and it gets a little higher, you see the tires sink a little deeper. And the back of that tractor just kind of starts to squat. Kind of like some of us when we sit on our lawn tractors. You know, the tractor just goes, get off, get off, get off. It's like, didn't I just pump the tires up? Yeah. 14 pounds isn't enough for you to sit on that tractor. But it weights down and it burdens them down. And the more we try to do it on our own, the more the weight gets heavier and heavier. And we realize we can't do it on our own. And it's time that we do the first thought. And it is this: I believe we can see strange things today if we enter into his presence. The power of the Lord was there. Notice, it was present to heal them. Ye have not because ye ask not. It's about time we as Christians begin to enter the presence of God. Why don't we see strange things? Because we're trying to do it on our own. We're trying to make it up on our own. We're trying to, almost like we're putting it in a pot and stirring it up and hoping something great comes out of it. Never once entering the presence of God. Pastor, that whole fasting and prayer thing, I mean, that's something they did in the Old Testament. It's no big deal. No, you know, we shouldn't be doing that today. In fact, it's not even healthy. Oh, yeah? It's interesting, when they take your blood, they tell you to fast, right? If it was going to kill you, why would they tell you to do that? Prayer, it just doesn't work anymore, Pastor. I mean, it used to. It used to work back in the day when there was prophets and people like that, but prayer doesn't work anymore. And then we step back and we wonder why we're not seeing strange things. Because not enough of God's people are entering into God's presence. When you enter into the presence of God, you cannot help but be humbled. You cannot help but be healed. You cannot help but have a desire to go on to serve Him. However, many Christians are just floating through life. They hear the Bible when they hear it read on Sundays. They never do family devotions. They never do personal devotions. And they never pray. Many. You don't even have to do a poll for that, because it's reality. Many Christians are missing out of the very presence of God. And as much as I enjoyed watching Tim Tebow as a Florida Gator, there are far too many people that are more concerned about going down to see Tim Tebow than they are about being in God's house and in His presence. There are far too many people concerned about going and seeing some great monument or some great historical site than they are about getting in the presence of God. Oh, Pastor, I don't think we can see strange things today. I promise you, when you get in the presence of God at the Transfiguration, how many of you think that the disciples or the inner circle that were there at the Transfiguration saw some strange things? so strange that they were to the point where they were wanting to build tabernacles and do all this, all these things and tell everybody, because they were in the presence of God. And people will tear down walls to get to the doctor's office. And they will call 1,000 different doctors just to be able to get in for their appointment. But they could care less about going to church. They could care less about time and prayer. They could care less about studying God's Word and seeing what God's Word says about it. And we wonder today why we don't see strange things. Why don't we see a revival start in our church and see it spread across Erie, Pennsylvania, and spread across the state and spread across the country? Why don't we see it? Because there's not enough people entering the presence of God today. I want you to notice these men who end up bringing their friend to the Lord Jesus Christ and he gets healed. They had a desire to be in the presence of God and to get him in the presence of God. Those guys in those days would have been busy handing out tracts and handing out flyers. Why don't you come on out to our church, Southside Baptist Church? Come on out, you know. Well, Pastor, I don't know. I don't really want to invite anybody to our church because we got problems in our church. And, you know, it starts with the pastor, right? The head. Let me let you in on a little secret. There's not a church on the face of this planet that doesn't have problems. You know why? Because there's people in it. And the last time I checked, you and I are a people. And you know what the problem with that is? Is people get in the way. My feelings get hurt. Your feelings get hurt. You get upset. You want to do this. They want to do that. Everybody wants to do something different. It's life. You know what we have to do? We have to learn to deal with it. And we have to learn to fight off the flesh and get in the presence of God. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change this church if nobody gets in the presence of God. Nothing's going to change your home. If you're going home and your home is a constant battleground, is a constant fighting place where it just you might as well put on the boxing gloves and go at it. Nothing's going to change if you're never going to get in the presence of God. If you're constantly stuck in a state of complaining and murmuring and whining and bickering and pouting and all those things, nothing's going to change unless you're going to get in the presence of God. Because the power of the Lord, the power in here, in the presence, is here. Not just here in God's house, but it's in your heart if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But to get in His presence is what's essential for us to see some strange things. I'm convinced that many Christians believe it's the pastor's job to just be in the presence of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, it's not just because I'm a pastor, but that is so wrong. It is a responsibility of every Christian to get in the presence of God. Well, if we just ask the pastor to pray for us, then things will happen in our lives. You need to be praying. Because you have the opportunity to get in the presence of God. There are some men later on this chapter that really, literally risked their lives to get this man to Jesus. I don't know if they've ever been to this home or not before, but how did they know if the roof was solid enough to get up on top of it? Not to mention, with four guys up there and another guy they were carrying. I've seen lots of people fall through buildings, fall through roofs, fall through ceilings. I heard watching AFV last week, America's Funniest Videos, and there was an old lady, she was sitting like 2 feet from her TV, you know, and she was staring at her TV and just looked like she was having just a good old time, you know, watching her TV, and all of a sudden somebody fell through the roof. She goes, "Are you okay up there?" There are some men that got up on a roof and risked their lives to get somebody to Jesus in His presence. And we won't hand out a tract. We won't knock on the neighbor's door. Well, if you're like us, we want to wait for the perfect time to knock on our neighbor's door. Let me let you in on a little secret. There never comes a perfect time. The time's now. By the way, I've learned this, and I'm learning this a lot more recently. If I don't do what comes into my mind right away, I'm in trouble. And I'm talking about good things. I'm not talking about sin. But if there's stuff that I know it needs to be done, if I don't do it right now, you can forget about me doing it anytime soon, because I'll completely forget about it. God puts it on your heart to hand out a tract or invite somebody to church. You better do it now. I don't have time today. It's the problem with us as Christians. We're not in the presence of God. So if we were in the presence of God, we wouldn't worry as much about whether we had time or not. If we enter the presence of God, I believe we can see some strange things today. As we see continuing on in this story, I want you to notice verse 18. It says, "And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him," before the Lord. "And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they decided to quit and go home." Everybody should be looking at me a little strange right now. Not what it says. "And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they rested and took a siesta." They decided to come back another day. When one avenue or one area got exhausted, they put their heads together and they said, "We're not quitting. Because what our friend needs is Jesus." "Well, I've talked to my neighbor before and nothing." "Well, that's good then. Just give up." That's what most of us do. "I told him once. They never came." "Yeah, I know you don't go to church. You need to go to church. Come to our church tomorrow." "I don't know why they didn't come, Pastor." "If you don't come, you won't get saved and you're going to go to hell." "I just don't know why my neighbor doesn't like me." They didn't give up after one failure. They couldn't get around Jesus. They couldn't get close enough. In fact, how busy ought we be to trying to get as close as we possibly can to the presence of God? Ourselves. And the closer we get to Jesus, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to thee." Oh boy, that sounds familiar. Wait, it's Bible. The closer you get, the more you'll want to get others closer to God. Notice the Bible says that they brought him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop. I can just imagine them. I don't know how tall the roof was, but I can imagine them, you know, trying to, "Here, you get down on all fours and I'll stand on you, and then you stand on him and climb up my back, and hopefully we can get," I don't know how they got up there, but I can just see it, you know. I can see a bunch of guys putting their heads together and literally standing on each other's head trying to get on top of this roof. "We're not going to give up." One guy said, "Well, don't step on my shoulders. That hurts my... Take your sandals off. Hurts my shoulders. I'm too tired. I didn't even eat lunch. I'm too hungry to be able to do anything. You know, I was trying to fast today and now I'm really hungry. I can't do anything." I could just see them finding a way to get up on that housetop. You say, "Well, Pastor, I've studied the scriptures and I know that every house in those days had a ladder up the side." Well, big deal. They still had to climb up that ladder with four people and another person that they were carrying. They had to get up there. I can just imagine the brains just turning as they're in this crowd and they're saying, how are we going to get him to Jesus? And one of them says, why don't we get him up on the roof and we'll cut a hole in the roof and let him down through. And the other three smack him in the back of the head and say, you dipstick, we can't do that. We don't even know whose house this is. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. You're actually going to go out on a Saturday afternoon and invite somebody to church? Come on. I told you folks in Sunday school, I talked to a Catholic man yesterday, and he thought I was, because I went out and invited a couple people to church, he thought I'd done my good works for the rest of my life. He says, you're good for the rest of the year now. And I'm like, what are you talking? Oh, it dawned on me what he was talking about. I went out for 2 hours, literally 1 hour, because it took us an hour to get down there and scout everything. Because it was so beautiful, we decided to go ahead and knock doors. We weren't planning on doing it, but we did. For 1 hour, and I've done my good deeds for the whole year. I don't read that in the Bible, do you? But we have a hard time going out for an hour. And we wonder why we're not seeing strange things. Here were men who said, we're not giving up until we get him to Jesus. I don't know how they cut, I don't know how they removed the tiling. I don't know how that all works. I didn't study all houses back then and how they, and you know what? Because it doesn't matter. All that matters is these men were persistent. How many of you know the story of the importunate widow? I believe it's in Luke 18. How the king, she keeps coming to the king and asking. And because she keeps asking, she drives him nuts, and he eventually says, I'm going to do it. And I don't believe we drive the Lord nuts. That's not the way it works that way. But the more we come, the more he listens. The more persistent we are, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Folks, part of the problem is today we're not in the presence of God. The second problem is we're not persistent. Here were some men that were persistent. They continued. We get rejected once and we say we're done. Somebody told us no once, and I'm never going to ask them again because they told us no. Here are men that I can imagine there might have been people outside watching them. Get down off that roof. What are you guys doing? Somebody's going to call the police on you. They didn't care. Apparently it was worth going to jail for them if that was the case. Because they even tore somebody's roof up. Now, I don't know how happy I'd have been about somebody tearing my roof up. But if somebody got saved, it would have been worth it all. You saw another person healed? Well, I'd gladly pay that bill. Hey, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. And as they let him down through, I want you to notice what happens. Did Jesus heal him before he got inside the building? It says, they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Notice what it says. When he saw their... You know what gets things done in Christianity? Hard work. I'm not telling you not to work hard. What gets things done is faith. It's called persistence. I'm going to continue on. You know what? God didn't save my brother today, but I'm going to continue to pray for him. And day after day and year after year and decade after decade, not century after century, right? But I guess we don't live quite that long. But decade after decade, we keep praying and we're persistent. And because God sees our faith, God answers prayer. Faith moves mountains. I just don't believe that soul winning does any good today. It's the problem. I told you the problem a couple weeks ago. You just don't believe. You told on yourself. I just don't believe we can see strange things in our church. Then that's why we're not seeing them, because you don't believe, and we don't believe. I just don't believe that God works that way anymore. Then you don't believe. That's why. Well, I just don't know if God can heal my marriage. That's probably why it's not getting healed. Because Jesus, not when he necessarily saw how hard they worked, but he saw that their faith made them work hard. Now, there's a thing. It's not all about hard work. It's not. But your faith makes you work hard. Because you know what you believe. You know who you've believed in. We already sung this morning in Sunday school. And you say, I'm going to keep on keeping on and being persistent, because faith pays off. God answers prayer. God answers faith. And as he looks and he sees their faith, that is when he healed him. Not even when he said, Lord, heal me. If he did, he didn't need to, because God healed him when he saw their faith. You know what's amazing about that? God just might save your best friend or your brother if you do your diligence to get him into church, or to get him in the Word of God where they need. Faith begins in the presence of God. Faith is continued with persistence if we would remain persistent. We have one thing sometimes in our lives go wrong, and then we give up. Well, I tried that. We tried that once and it didn't work. We went there once and it didn't work. We did this once and that didn't work. I don't know how many of you have fasted this last month, but I know in my life, sometimes it seems like when I begin to fast and begin to pray like that, it seems like more things come at me. The devil's just sitting up there, or sitting there somewhere from a distance. Well, then maybe it's better not to fast. If you don't want to see strange things, then don't do it. If you don't have enough faith, then don't do it. But if you want to see God do something special in your life and in your family and in this church, then be diligent and be faithful. Be persistent. It's called faith. And lastly, I want you to notice this. I believe we can see some strange things if we continue to do this, and that is to praise him, if we continue to praise. Look at verse 26 and we'll be done. Verse 26 says, and they were all amazed. And they did what? Glorified God. Please, folks, get this. When God answers one of your prayers, and if God answers your prayer for revival in your life, praise him for it. Don't forget. Well, he answered my prayer. Well, did you go back and thank him? Don't miss the opportunity to praise God. Don't miss the opportunity to tell somebody about what God has done in our church or in your life. And they were all amazed. And they glorified the men that brought him in. No. God bless their faith, but they're not. Oh, boy. It's our good works. Their good works that saved him. No. It's their good works that healed him. They were just persistent. You know? No, it was their faith. They said, if we just do whatever we can to get him to Jesus, and by the way, if you just do whatever you can to get your neighbors and your loved ones and your friends, your family to Jesus, God will bless that faith, folks. And when God blesses that faith, it's time that we get on our hands and knees and thank him for it. Maybe we don't have to get on our hands and knees. Maybe we can stand with our hands in the air and shout and scream, and people will think we're strange. There's the strange things we're talking about, right? Man, that guy's nuts. No, he's not nuts. He's just thanking God for what God's done for him. We sit in a church service and somebody waves a hanky and we go, oh, They said something in the church service. Somebody may think we're Pentecostal. No, you know what? Maybe God's just doing some strange things. If I said amen, somebody might look at me funny. We had this guy when I was a little kid in our church. And I don't even remember what his name was, but he used to come to our church. And he had this really, really deep, low voice. I mean, it's way, way lower than my voice. And he'd be sitting over on the side, and I remember him, as a little kid, I'd be half asleep, you know, or just drawing or something like that, and all of a sudden the pastor would say something, and he'd go, amen! And everybody's like, huh, what in the world? And it was real. I mean, he's like, amen! And everybody, woogie! You know what? God was doing something in his life. Unfortunately, we weren't on board, probably because we weren't in the presence of God like we should have been. And probably because we weren't very consistent and persistent with our faith. And because we weren't praising God. Nothing wrong with saying amen. There's nothing wrong with waving a little hanky if God's speaking to your heart. You say, well, God's not speaking to my heart. Well, maybe he's not speaking because you're not in the presence of God. I'm convinced that whether I'm preaching or anyone else is preaching, if this book is opened up, what it says in verse 17 is so true. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. If this book is being read, if this book is being preached, if this book is being shared, the power of the Lord is here to help us, to heal us, and to send revival. If we'll just enter his presence. If we'll just be persistent. And if we'll just learn to praise him. I'm convinced today by reading this scripture, and not just by this scripture, but this scripture helps help convince me that we can still see strange things today. The problem with it is I don't see too many people like these four men, including me. I'm busy about what I need to get done, missing out on the opportunity sometimes to get people to Jesus. Because I'm too busy. If we're in his presence, if we're persistent, and if we praise, I believe with all my heart we can see strange things. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day.